Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hey, Mark. How are you?
Good.
It is fall, and we're going to do a couple of articles that you've chosen that deal with seasonal illness. One of them, the first one that we're going to do this week, is taken from the journal Pediatrics. It's published in 2014, volume 133. It starts on page 1081. And it talks about Mycoplasma pneumonia. Again, my usual by way of background story here is that Mycoplasma pneumonia is one of three species of Mycoplasma that affect humans. The Mycoplasmas, you may remember, are the smallest living things that can live alone in nature. They don't depend on another, their cell. The pneumonia is transmitted from person to person. It's respiratory transmission, not like our friend Ebola. Incubation period averages about 3 weeks, so it's a little bit on the long side. And it is much more common at this time of year, the fall and the winter, but it certainly can develop year-round. The symptoms are familiar. Nothing is unique to Mycoplasma pneumonia, but it is accompanied by the usual headache, malaise, low-grade fevers. Chills are frequent, as listeners will know. There are extrapulmonary symptoms as well as pulmonary symptoms. We're going to talk primarily today about pulmonary symptoms. The question that the article in Pediatrics asks is, in children who have confirmed Mycoplasma pneumonia, is treatment, usually with a macrolide or one of the cyclins, like tetracycline, is that effective in decreasing symptoms and the duration of symptoms? Mark, what did the article find?
Yeah, mycoplasma is one of those that I remember thinking about a lot or hearing it, being taught a lot about it, but it's almost dropped off the radar a bit, and we really have very little evidence about what to do with this condition. The authors of this meta-analysis, this was a group of authors working with the Cochrane Collaboration. They searched the bibliographies of identified studies, but they didn't search some other databases they might have searched, like the Cochrane Controlled Trials Register. Most of the studies enrolled kids with pneumonia due to any cause who were then given antibiotics effective against several organisms, not just mycoplasma. So they tried to separate out those who ended up being diagnosed with mycoplasma in the end. They did a study quality assessment that was pretty typical, looking specifically at selection biases and reporting biases, a little different from the usual meta-analysis where they look at things like randomization and allocation concealment. So that was a bit odd. In their analysis of the five randomized controlled trials that had about 2,000 patients, they actually found no evidence either way for the use of antibiotics in mycoplasma. Four out of the five studies showed no benefit. There was significant heterogeneity. One study did find benefit, and they also found that there was risk of publication bias. And that means that it looked like negative trials that or smaller negative trials that had found no benefit were unpublished, and that's we're increasingly aware that that's an issue. Sometimes those negative studies are withheld by the manufacturer. Other times, those negative trials are rejected by the journal because they're just not that interesting to have a negative trial. So basically, the bottom line, after all these years of knowing about mycoplasma as a cause of lower RTIs and knowing that there are various antibiotics like macrolides that are effective in vitro, we really don't know, don't have an answer about whether or not antibiotics are effective in kids. As we know, some infections like pertussis, a lot of the symptomatology is caused by the inflammation that persists after the infection is gone. I'm not saying don't treat a mycoplasma infection or a pneumonia with an antibiotic, but it sure would be nice if we had a little better guidance on the topic.
Right. My microbiology colleagues tell me that this immune response is actually probably pretty important, and they cite as evidence the fact that small people, young children, and and infants very rarely develop pneumonia, despite the fact that they've got this infection that's documented. The other thing, just to remind everybody, is that about 20% or 1 out of 5 acute pneumonias in kids are thought to be from mycoplasma pneumonia. So it's pretty common, but the thinking is somewhere around 30 to 40% of infections with mycoplasma pneumonia don't present with clinical symptoms. So it is, I think what you're raising is this issue of, well, first, are the antibiotics useful? And second of all, what really is the epidemiology? And if so many of them are asymptomatic, and, is this something that's much more immune-mediated, and perhaps antibiotics aren't the right thing? We need some sort of immune modulators or something that decreases the immune response.
There have been some trials of NSAIDs, for example, in cough illness. They've been mixed. There was one recently in Spain that didn't show any benefit. There have been some other smaller trials showing some possible benefit. It might have something to do with dose, might have something to do with timing, but not clear whether there's any benefit. And, certainly people have used steroids in asthmatic bronchitis, for the wheeze component. It's not clear, probably not an important benefit, though, for the cough component. And so I don't want to encourage folks to go throwing steroids at everybody with acute bronchitis. I don't think that's been demonstrated to be effective at all either.
Good points. Mark, thanks. We'll talk with you again next week.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.